Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kapheneum. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara. And our program will be coming to you each Sunday morning, 8:30 to 9, especially to you live-ins and all you God-blessed people, the beloved of the Lord.
I have been asked by my board of directors of St. Michael Academy of Eschatology to read you the mission statement they all agree with before you hear their tape and their comments on the Da Vinci Code, which they believe, too, it could be a plan of Satan to introduce the Antichristos, the Antichrist. The mission statement goes like this, quote, "It is responsibility of St. Michael Academy of Eschatology to lead those who will listen into the belief that we are indeed in the end times. For if you look up in the dictionary the word eschatology, the definition is the branch of theology that is concerned with the ultimate or last thing, such as death, judgment, heaven and hell. Because the words spoken by Bishop Hara, that's myself personally, are heralding the return of the Messiah, we of St. Michael Academy of Eschatology wholeheartedly support the words he speaks on radio station WTTB, 1490 AM, 8:30 every Sunday morning."
Mystery, mystery Babylon, she's fallen, oh Babylon the great, the mother of harlots of the earth, abominations from your birth. Your judgments come, there's no rebirth. In 1 hour she is lost. Mystery, mystery unclean, immoral, sensual, lewd and mean. Your power, your purpose, your sins, God's seen, destroyed at such a cost. You are a mystery, mystery Babylon, the queen.
I'm going to read you chapter 17 on Mystery Babylon. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman who sat upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet collar, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And whom I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 have fallen and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. What we're about to tell you is that the country that fulfills, and it's not the Vatican, as a lot of prognosticators of end times say, it's a country, it's a nation that is an abomination to God. And Mystery Babylon has introduced the Da Vinci Code. What country was that born in? Let's hear the comments of those that heard the prior message that was said about the Da Vinci Code and Satan's plan in this country through that false, dastardly writing, degrading our Lord and the Blessed Mother.
My name is Bishop Petros. I'm the overseer of Holy Theotokos Orthodox Shrine. This sermon I just had the privilege of hearing brings to mind that the Holy Spirit is the common denominator. He is in us and in the chalice, and there is no spirit of confusion. I think about the blood that was given to us at the Lord's Supper. In contrast, the wedding of Cana, we saw water being turned to wine, which was a physical manifestation, really no faith required. But then, when the Lord held up the wine and proclaimed it to be his blood, that was spiritual. That required much faith. So there, as Satan, through the Da Vinci Code, tries to inject into our society an anti-blood, another blood, that we have the true blood of Christ that has been given to us by the Lord himself at his Last Supper. I see the Protestant Church today that rejects the communion as we Orthodox believe. And every time I pass by a Protestant church, I see that as a visible rebellion against the Apostolic Church. And I hope with the love of God and with those people around us that have the same spirit, the spirit that was given to the apostles at Pentecost, that Lord, we could bring the truth to them and they would receive it. That is my prayer.
My name is John and I'm an Eastern Orthodox Christian. When listening to Bishop Hara and his radio show, he brings to mind that a certain movie, which will go unnamed, reduces Christ to a mere mortal, nothing more than any other man, and that can't possibly be true. That is not why Jesus Christ came, God in the flesh, to spill his blood, to die for our sins, to resurrect, we're going to be having ascension, and then Pentecost, when the apostles were first touched by the Holy Spirit. How can we even think that Jesus Christ was nothing more than a man?
My name is Joy, and I'm an Eastern Orthodox Christian, and I'm very aware that these are the end times. And having read Daniel 11, there was a prophet that was thousands of years ago and who spoke by the Spirit of the Lord. It says in Daniel 11, verse 31, that, "And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation." And then, having read the New Testament that was written somewhere in the realm of 2,000 years, in Matthew 24, and I'll start at verse 15, says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anybody says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And see, I have told you beforehand. So, as this is the end times, I can see that have heard in the sermon that this is a setup by Satan to deceive the elect and deceive people so the masses will follow a lie.
I am Anne. I am the Dean of St. Michael Academy of Eschatology, and I want to share today a verse in St. John chapter 20, verse 4. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So here, clearly, in regards or contrast, I should say, to the shrouded turn, there are two linen cloths, a handkerchief that surrounded the head of Christ in a tomb and another one that was wrapped around his body. So I would urge you to check out the scriptures again, that it was not one entire long cloth, but there were two, by looking in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, starting with verse 4 and going all the way down to verse 9. Also, I wanted to include in this revelation, chapter 20, starting with verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Hi, I'm Dee Marie. I'm Eastern Orthodox Christian, and I have many Protestant friends whom I love dearly, but they don't have the fullness of the truth, and that really saddens me. They say they have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but do they really? They don't receive the body and blood of Christ as I do, and I just pray for them. I feel bad for them that they don't know the truth and they don't love the truth. I even have family members who are not in the truth, and I just have to continue to pray for them. I love them dearly, but I love the Lord more, and I will deny them before the Lord.
Many of you have probably wondered why I've even entered into technology and missiles, and it's because it's the condition of the country and its inability to protect itself due to spiritual abyss, due to our decline away from God. Obviously, you can't win wars. unless God is with you. I'm going to read you some astounding letters that I've kept in confidential files that speak about our involvement in our ministry with the senior President Bush. I'm not anti-Bush, nor anti-Republican, nor anti-American. I think I've demonstrated that to you. My love, of course, is for God first, and that's who I serve as his servant. That is the ultimate, as I placed my head and vowed upon the holy altar, at all cost. And as I speak the truth and as I know it, it's not done to be slanderous towards anyone. Let me read you a letter that was written to me in July 6, 1989 that will probably introduce to you precisely why I'm so well-versed in technology. And it comes from Congressman Dan Mica on March 6, 1987. And the letter was written to the Commissioner of Patents and Trademarks, Department of Commerce, and that was in Washington, D.C. Dear Commissioner, I am writing on behalf of one of my constituents, Dr. Robert Hare Lambus, who has provided my office with his application for a patent. I have enclosed his file for your review and would appreciate any assistance you could give him. I have known Dr. Hare Lambus, who is a bishop, for several years, and I'm aware of his efforts in the scientific field, and I know him to be a man of the highest integrity and credibility. I look forward to hearing your comments regarding this matter. Sincerely yours, Congressman Dan Mica. That was written in 1987. And again, thank you. A letter from Congressman Mica to my person in regards to a book that was written about national security, satellites. This was a book called Theothalassa, God's Ocean. It's a trilogy that was written by my person, and it was sent to the Zondervan Publishing House. And it says in Dan Mica's letter, thank you for speaking with my legislative assistant regarding a manuscript entitled Theothalassa and your file address. Per your request, I have forwarded these materials to Senator John Glenn's Subcommittee on Energy, Nuclear Proliferation, and Federal Services. I hope this is kind and helpful. What am I trying to say to you at this time? Yes, there was a patent submitted, and it was responded to by the senior president of our president today, George W., President George Bush himself, in 1989. I read to you a letter that was sent to me in person by the Assistant Secretary and Commissioner of Patents and Trademarks, Donald J. Quigg. What am I saying to you now? I'm saying to you that I'm well-versed in the scientifics of the space world and why I can respond and speak in a manner that is truthful in regards to definition of the war in space and what is really going on, even concerning the missile coming from North Korea. Dear Dr. Hare Lambus, your letter of June 4, 1989 to President Bush has been forwarded to this office for response. The continuing concern you express for the defense of the United States of America is appreciated. As to the patent applications you have filed in the Patent and Trademark Office, they have been and will continue to be handled in direct correspondence from the Patent and Trademark Office to you. Sincerely, Donald J. Quigg. That shows you there is some credibility to what I've been saying due to the fact that I submitted an invention to help our country called a space collision and high velocity mass kinetic energy device. This, of course, is quite complicated from a scientific point of view, but there was a certificate of registration that was attached to this relating to what I've been talking about for weeks, Russian Cosmos 954, Great Slave to Jupiter. It is the second volume in this trilogy, which has now grown to be a quatranovel. I'm not trying to promote a book. What I am saying is I can easily relate to space collisions, high velocity, mass, meteorites, satellites, and kinetic energy devices. I'm well versed in that on a scientific basis. I'm not a scientist. I'm a bishop that works for the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has blessed me and given me wisdom to understand precisely because it relates to a timing piece on what could and could not happen to this country. If we are the Mystery Babylon, and I truly believe we are, and we're headed in that direction, why am I speaking in terms of trying to recover and repent? If we're already there, there's nothing to recover. Then all it is a matter of salvage. But let me read to you a letter to President George Bush on June the 4th, 1989, to the White House. Dear Mr. President, sir, I'm asking for space weapon, which is classified, and for presidential intervention. First, let us thank you for the prompt evaluation to our credibility in these matters and also the answers we received from Commissioner of the Patents and Trademarks, Donald J. Quigg. Due to our communication to you in 1989, January, the matter has reached still another snag, which places the project in jeopardy. Your personal call is now being precipitated and asked for and requested to the Patent and Trademark Office. Enclosures reveal the obstruction may prevent your prosperity and our prosperity in our country, ours and the USA, our beloved country, in strategic defense initiatives in the space war. Mr. Reagan did not heed our advice we offered to him 3 years prior to Challenger's demise, published and in writing. Our duty to inform our commander-in-chief again submitted with affability due to our obscurity in God's will and work, yet is if your staff or you send an envoy, we may meet in private and reveal the imminent dangers facing our nation. Unless otherwise, we overcome the Soviet lead in laser-related weaponry, superiority at the Reykjavik secrets should be known to you, Mr. President, specifically since the double cross is in the process. And I sign it, Reverend Harry Lambos. God bless your decision and not an administrative aid. You are in our prayers. And this was sent to many others. And What is it that I'm trying to prove to you by reading this stuff to you? If you could say, well, it's just correspondence. But President Bush Sr. Did respond, and it was a legitimate request on our part because we were interested in seeing this country have it the protection that it needed. I believe it proceeded forward, and I also believe that one of the reasons that Discovery has to go up is it has and contains a special laser system that should shoot down any Korean missile that would come from North Korea. God is well ahead of everything and knows exactly how things are going to turn out. My job is to save souls. So why am I talking about technology and missiles? It's a timing understanding. When you see these things happen, as the Lord said in Scripture himself, as you see things happen, you know what's next. We are indeed in a space war. There is no treaties for space. The only treaty that was in existence was violated here recently due to the fact that we did want to develop and did proceed an anti-ballistic missile system. Well, of course, we don't believe that our adversaries are going to allow us to station that in space and put their countries in jeopardy. So I believe that one of the things that will happen to us, which will precipitate not only matters in the Far East, but where the war is really going on at this point, and that's in space. Who controls the satellites controls our communication. If we were to lose our satellites, can you imagine there'd be no GPS for any of our weapons? And yet that's one of the reasons that we are aware of the fact that the Russians have killer satellites. They've had them in space for over 25 years. They used it, and that was what Cosmos 954 was all about. The fact that it was intervened by a meteor and an act of God. And yet, what happened to us? Did we give God the credit? No. Did we give God the glory? No. Did we keep it secret? Yes. Does that please the Lord? I don't think so. I think that when God intervenes supernaturally by divine intervention, that he wants the glory. That's what this is all about these last few weeks that we've been speaking. And we will continue because we believe this is the timing piece that will happen and preclude the coming of our Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name that you don't think I'm off the wall, but that you examine some of these things and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit show you the truth. In Christ Jesus' name, I say goodbye to you today, and I'll be back next Sunday. And what is in my heart? Why do I welcome you each Sunday morning with uplifting messages, hopefully of exhortation, and perhaps maybe wisdom and knowledge? Because it relates to Bible prophecy, which is preaching Christ, and the current events, reviewing these past prophecies as you've been hearing these tapes from week to week, aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion, and here they are being coming to pass today. The program and always will contain miracles and newspaper quotes, and I will read Holy Scripture relating to the end times. My academy, St. Michael Academy, is also involved, not only because of the words listed above introducing, but I believe that the American people have a right to know Star Wars is climaxing to Armageddon. Star Wars is climaxing to the coming of the Lord, the return of the Messiah.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program, all approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. 707-707, Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael. Low caps, Archangel Michael, Archangel, Michael, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.